Hillbilly heart beats tender and warm down in the Ozarks, back on the farm.
Well, come on in and set a spell, neighbors. Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions, and just generally speaking to help brighten up this rainy Saturday. Good morning, May.
Well, good morning, Fred. Well, I hope I don't get hoarse, honestly. I'm always clearing my throat. Sleep in a barn or do something. I don't know what makes it. Anyway, thank you, Fred. Fred, I rode out on a taxi this morning. A fella said he went to school with you, and I don't know who he was. He said some nice things about you. I don't know why, but he did. Oh, Fred's an awful fine fella. Good morning, friends, anyway. Well, the rains came, didn't they? What a flood. Well, it was a flood. It simply was a deluge and a toad strangler. What a pity it didn't come sooner. But then we mustn't complain. It'll do a world of good right now. The pastures and all the late things growing. I read the wild stories that scare the life out of me about how the world is going drier and the people becoming more numerous, of course, and 50 years from today there'll be almost no water even to drink. At least that's what they claim. It's just bewildering. But of course most of us won't be here, so we won't know about it. But our children's children will know, and that's what I'm always thinking about, is my children's children and the generations that go on down that have my blood in them. I feel a responsibility for them. I don't know what makes me that way. But I believe that we will finally learn the process of making the water of the ocean perfectly clear and good to drink. That's what they say we will. That's what they're working on nowadays. They will, and we'll have plenty of it. So let's don't borrow trouble. One time there was a woman standing on a bridge crying for dear life. A passerby asked her what it was all about. She said, well, she might get married sometime and have a daughter, and the daughter might go over this bridge and get her foot caught in her skirts and fall off of the bridge into the deep river. And that's what she was crying about. Well, that was in the days when a girl's feet had some sort of acquaintance with the bottom of her skirts. You know, now, they're to be 2 inches above the knee now. That's the style. I'd like to see a girl get her feet caught in her skirts nowadays and fall off a bridge or fall off anything. Oh, lad. So, you see, we really can borrow trouble like this poor old gal did over things that never will happen. I want to say happy birthday to a sweet little old lady, Mrs. Frances McCoy, who was 78 years old yesterday. And so was my oldest son. His birthday was yesterday, September the 14th. I want to send Ms. McCoy my love, and I hope she will see many more birthdays yet, and she likely will. God bless you, my dear. My friend Alice Freeman called by to tell me about your birthday, and I wasn't at home. But thank goodness she left me a note. Alice knows what to do always. Again, happy birthday, my dear Mrs. McCoy. My good friend Ms. Lily Jones, the mother of Uncle Zeke, who used to be on our radio KWTO. Remember him, Uncle Zeke? Well, his mother, Lily, sends me nice little clippings now and then, and this time she sent me a good thing on prayer for the shut-ins. I wonder if I forgot shut-in Sunday, or have we had shut-in Sunday yet? Seems to me like it comes in June. My heart is always with the shut-ins. Lily Jones sent me this little poem for them, too. It says, remember the shut-ins, you who are well. Send them a card. Pay a visit or two. It will cheer them, perhaps, when they are blue. It will ease the pain in the lonely hours if you'll take a book or send some flowers. A visit from a friend can be the best cure, and God will reward you someday, I'm sure. I know we all have a moment to spare, so please visit a shut-in and show them you care. Oh, that's the truth. I had a note from a shut-in, Miss Lucy Graves Viles, on North Rogers Avenue, and she sent me an old ballad her mother Emmeline Graves had copied off in 1875 in the month of February. It's as old and yellowed, and she called it a song ballot, B-A-L-L-E-T, and that was right. Ballot was the old word, the correct word. Shakespeare used to use the word ballot. So did Spenser and all the early English writers. When I was a girl and we were always singing folk songs and swapping them about with each other, someone would say, "Won't you copy me off that song ballot?" They always said song ballot. Somewhere down the centuries, then the word became ballad. But ballot is the first word. It shows you how old we, how ancient we are in the Ozarks, said song ballot. Mrs. Viles, who sent me the ballot, said she would like so much for me to read it on the air. I have very little time on the air, but I thought I would read it. Had it been a ballad I knew, I intended to bring my guitar and sing it for, but it was not one I ever knew. This was copied by her mother just a few years after I was born. It seems to be a very old song, not of the ballad type, but they called every song that seemed like that you wrote off in those days, they called it a ballad. Whene'er I take my walks abroad, how many poor I see, what shall I render to my God for all his gifts to me? No more than others I deserve, though God has given me more, for I have food while others starve and beg from door to door. How many children in the street, half naked, I behold, while I am clothed from head to feet and covered from the cold. While some poor wretches scarce can tell where they may lay their heads, I have a home wherein to dwell and rest upon my bed. While others early learn to swear and curse and lie and steal, Lord, I am taught thy name to fear and do thy holy will. Are these thy favors day by day to me above the rest? Then let me love thee more and more and try to serve thee best. So that's the old song. The paper is very old and yellow and frail. At the bottom, she signs her name, a song ballad written by Emmeline Graves, and the date, February 8, 1875. And then she writes this little line below, which so many, many used to write in the old days, in their books, in their school books, in their letters, in their autograph albums, and everywhere. They'd write, "When this you see, remember me." Then there used to be some more to it. Some used to write, "When this you see, remember me, though many a mile apart we be." And this old ballot's in an envelope which seems to be addressed, I can scarcely make it out, seems to be addressed to Miss Emmy Vickers, Richland Post Office, Greene County, Missouri. Now, where was Richland Post Office? Thanks to several who called me and told me about the clipping I had read about the trading stamps. I thought it was an army camp building, you know. They were building a chapel from trading stamps, but it was a prison at Napanock, New York. More than 15,000 persons, it said, so far have contributed about 14 million trading stamps, worth nearly $25,000. Now just think of how those stamps mount up. Nor wonder we're so glad to get them for the bus for the retarded children at the home at Marshall. And thank you for some more this morning. Two or three letters, and one woman sent a book. Father Killian, whose building has charge of this, he's a chaplain at the prison where they're going to build this stone chapel. He says, stamps are coming from everywhere, Catholics and Protestants alike, and even from ex-convicts. And one little boy sends 2 dimes taped to a piece of cardboard each week and never misses. It's most of his weekly allowance, he says. Now think of that. Their stamps have come from every state, and they're now filling out the 100,000 books they're going to start building with. They're nearly ready to start. The inmates of the prison all want the lovely stone chapel and are working hard for it. The work will be done by them, the most of it. They're also filling out the stamp books and taking care of them. And thanks to the people I want to thank who called me and the ones who sent me the clipping from our paper. Well, let me see. Did I already tell you about that? That You know, I wanted that paper. No, I didn't tell you about that. I wanted the paper, that clipping about this prison. Mrs. Neese and Eula Wyman, I believe. And thanks to those who called me, whose names I don't recall just now. If I don't have a pencil and write it down right now when you phone me, I lose it. I forget the name. People are so kind to me when I ask for things. It just does my heart good. You know, I told you I was going to ask for a pink Cadillac before long. I've heard so much about a pink Cadillac. So be looking out. Now, what would I do with a pink Cadillac? Can you tell me? I don't even know the front of a car from the back. All I care about a car is if it has four wheels and will run and get me where I'm going. So don't get me the pink Cadillac. I've changed my mind. I don't need it. I'll take a country ham. My friend Bobby Lee Glidewell of Nixon, Missouri, writes to me about grape cobbler in the fall. And I wonder if any of you ever make it. He says his first home was when he lived with his grandfather and grandmother, Noakes, at Nixie. His grandfather died in 1927, and they lived on with the grandmother in the same house, and she raised a small vineyard of tame grapes. He says, I remember that we always had grape cobbler for the noon dinner every day as long as there were grapes on the vines. It was really delicious. I wonder how many others of your listeners may have a childhood memory of good, sweet grape cobbler for dinner in the early fall. I just wanted to share a childhood memory with your countless listeners. May God continue to bless you in your promotion of folklore appreciation, and also bless you and your loved ones with good health. Well, thank you, Bobby, and I don't know when in this world I have ever eaten a grape cobbler, but I did in my girlhood days. You know, they're awful good, but the seeds always sort of got in my hair, as they say. But grapes do make a delicious pie or cobbler. Well, I hope we never stop cooking the old-time things, the good things. My, they used to make good things. And thanks to several who sent me the recipe for the grape jelly made with Epsom salts. Several called me up, and this morning I have letters from Mrs. Herbert Prince of Eminence. She sends me the recipe. Mrs. Cora Herning of El Rey Springs. Miss Jenny Riddler, Mountain View, Missouri. She sends me an old clipping of mine of column when I was writing for the newspaper where I put the recipe in, from Mrs. M.R. Smith, who now lives in Excelsior, Missouri. So I had forgot. I knew I'd heard it somewhere, and there it was right in my column. Well, it's the same thing. You know, four cups of grape juice and 5 cups of sugar. Bring to a full boil and boil 15 minutes. Add 1 teaspoon of Epsom salts and boil 1 minute longer and pour in glasses, and you've got the finest jelly. And Mrs. Prince says you can make the most wonderful strawberry preserves with it also. Well, time's up now to close with a little wish for you and all my love with it. May God walk through your home and make it his, even if it is old and leans like a broken tree. For there is more to it than floors of pine and walls and ceiling. There is memory. May God walk through your heart and make it strong. And hallow your halls and stairs and lend a song and give your fires ablaze to dream beside, to help you to restore the dreams that died. Good day, and I'll be seeing you goodbye next Saturday. Lord willing, the creek will be dry.